Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from the street. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
And welcome, listening audience, to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we will share with you yet another topic of discussion that we hope will be instructional and useful to all that are able to hear. This is Talk Straight, and sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, which is a nonprofit research arm. And we endeavor to share our message across urban America. So this podcast platform allows us to reach you in various cities, and we hope that you join us. You can call us live here tonight at 657-383-0944 and participate in the live dialogue. Thanks to all of you that have tuned in. Mary, thank you very much for sharing your comments there. And we will get into some of that a little later. In case you're listening for the first time, the basic format is that we open up the phone lines to you after we provide a brief monologue, which gives us context, a point of reference for our conversation. And if, as we go through our conversation, we discover that we need to do some more research and follow up and fact check ourselves, we'd be happy to do so. Beginning this year, we've invited you to share your ideas. If you'd like to come on the show, you have an idea you'd like to share with us, our listening audience, we'll be happy to consider that and bring you on. Give us a call at 615-498-4669 or email me at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. You can also access that by going to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. BFCinstitute.com, and just subscribe to the page there, and we'll get your message, and then we'll be able to follow suit accordingly. Pastor Ricky Wallace is our regular panelist. He's joining us tonight, and we'll have him to weigh in with us, and we hope you'll join us too by calling us live here, 657-383-0944. We appreciate each of you and your various manners in which you participate in this useful dialogue. Okay, I think we've just about covered everything. We're going to get into our monologue, and then we'll open up our phone lines to you, our listening audience. Again, this is Talk Straight. Perhaps one of the most significant influences in the life of any American is theological identification, or the role of the church, as related to the struggles faced by many in urban America the need to bridge social economic challenges with proactive solutions becomes most paramount. The very nature of the church is to serve as a deport for repair to our material, our spiritual, social, and natural lives whenever there is a need to do so. And again, tonight we're talking from the topic, how the church can make the difference in urban America. In 2017, we talked a lot about what the problem is. Now we're focusing our attention on solutions, how we go about solving those things. So this conversation has two parts. Thursday night, we're going to actually offer some research, basically, that we have engaged in recently relative to some steps or some strategies, some methodologies that churches can use to come together and to pool their resources in certain neighborhoods or communities such that they can be proactive in nature. All right. So with that being said, we are grateful again for you joining us, and we're going to go ahead and begin our monologue. And, again, the number is 657-383-0944. We invite you to give us a call. Again, the topic tonight, how the church can make the difference in urban America. James 1:27 reads, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Lastly, 1 Peter 4:7 reads, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel?" Consider that there are three principal pillars of a proactive society. They are the continuation of humanity through the family institution, an established basis for socializing citizens via an educational institution, and lastly, a theological foundation or institution for circumscribing the behaviors of mankind with divine discipline and order. The latter have long been represented throughout world history. They continue to be the stabilizing forces for any culture in the world. According to the James Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible, the English word church is translated from the Greek word ekklesia, which means calling out, a popular meeting, a religious congregation, an assembly. Its primary purpose is to serve as the cement that unite people who share a common belief in Yahweh Elohim, or the Lord God. Contrary to popular assumptions by many historically, the church is not a physical building or edifice, but rather it is expressed in the willful coming together of people who share a faith. That's what the church is. Okay? So it's really about the people. Now, historically, in Western civilization, the church institution represents religious guide or structure for social order, and moreover, for guiding people's moral compass. Now, unfortunately, it has been used as a justification for war, the colonization of people all around the world, and most tragically, the enslavement of human beings. After the Protestant Reformation, which began in 1517 and ran through 1648 in Europe, the divisive practices of denominationalism, okay, determining who go to heaven how, began. And this process has then and continues to separate people who say they love God and desire to go to heaven. And all they have done is to break up in religious popularity cliques named by a particular denomination in the name of a church. Okay? Problem with that is this. In relationship to the socioeconomic plight in 2018 of people who struggle in urban America to live day by day, one common ingredient that's always prevalent when you go to any major city where you see these same issues, and that is that there are a lot of churches that are poorly involved and too often inactive in the lives of the local residents of the neighborhoods which they sit. First step to the church making a real difference in the lives of young people who struggle throughout urban America, and anywhere else for that matter, is to realize the need to bring socioeconomic challenges, to bridge those challenges with proactive solutions. Now, Thursday, we're going to go really in-depth on that, but tonight I thought it was important that we began by understanding what the church function is, where it comes from, how is it supposed to sit in our lives. So with that, we're going to open up the phone lines, and look like we got some callers online with us here. We're going by your area code and the last four digits of your number to identify you, unless you so choose to identify yourself by name. And that's 314-0983 is with us, as well as Pastor Ricky Wallace. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Hey, man. What's going on with you, Pastor Dockery?
All right, all right. We're holding the road, man, holding the road. Caller from 314-0983, welcome to Talk Straight.
Thank you, Ruben.
Hey, where you been all my life? You heard my monologue. I usually ask Pastor Wallace to do this. He's our regular panelist. But you heard my monologue. Where did I go wrong? I told him I was going to get in trouble when I did this show, this topic. Where did I go wrong?
Well, I haven't heard where you went wrong so far.
Okay.
I'm in agreement with your monologue.
Okay.
I saw the questions on Facebook, and I just had to throw something in there.
Pastor Wilder, she threw a bomb in there on Facebook, man. Yes, she do you mind elaborating on that a little bit? Because now, let me just, and I did make mention of this in the conversation thread on Facebook. Our intention is not to in any way demean or to slander the body of Christ or the institution of church. But truthfully, there are some problems, and there are reasons people are leaving and people are losing faith and confidence in the preacher and the institution itself. And if we're not careful, Pastor Waller, we'll lose control of this thing, and the devil will win. We definitely don't want the devil to win. Is that right?
No, we don't want him to win.
He itching at the bit to get everything he can. I can't give him mine. Now, I told him, you can't have mine, man. I got to have mine. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor Waller.
No, you know, you were saying something earlier, and I got through about it. You said judgment. I mean, I heard you say that.
Yes, sir.
And you said where it was from. You said it was starred, right? You didn't see it. You didn't say it was starred at the hospital in which you was born and birthed into existence, on wherever you moved in your house.
Right.
You did say that judgment was starred at the, did you say house of God?
That's what the text said. That's what the text said.
Oh, yeah. That's what
I didn't write it. It was there before I was born.
So if there are believers that are in the church and they heard that, I think they ought to be quick to get busy.
Okay.
Because if it's going to start there, man, I mean, that is enough evidence to say it's a responsibility that they should have.
Sure.
And
carry
it out. You know, and you try to find out what did you go wrong, and if you don't expose them, then that's when you go wrong.
Oh, I see.
But when it makes sense. It's not a bad thing to. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they just need a reminder. So that's pretty good. I like that.
Okay. Let me turn to caller there, 09983. Were you going to elaborate on that 09? Tell us a little bit about your thread, and maybe I'll, if it's okay, I'll go ahead and share that with our audience. One of the first things she said is too many churches make up rules and rituals that have absolutely nothing to do with the Bible. She goes on further to say, too many judgmental hypocrites are there. Too many leaders talking how God wants us to live, but are not living that way, the way they're teaching, and teaching too much about materialism. This is where she stepped on my toes, Pastor. And not enough about sharing how to help the downtrodden. I said, wait a minute, now she's throwing blows. You want to elaborate on that for a caller?
Well, you know, I've changed churches. I've been in and out of church. I feel that I'm a born-again Christian. And,
yes, ma'am.
And I didn't really understand that the church was not a building. Today I know that the church are the body of the church is the people of the church, the faithful Christians that worship God faithfully. But I didn't know, and I was changing churches because these churches I would go to is like they would call people up. Who got $100 to put in? Raise your hand. Who got $50? Raise your hand. And then they parade you down the church to show off. Oh, I'm a big spender in the church. First of all, God don't need your money. You know, people think that's 10%. You're not paying to get in heaven. You're paying to keep the doors of that church open.
Right.
God don't need your money. You know what I'm saying? And people think they're giving that money to God, and they're not. Secondly, they preach that about if you want a Cadillac. I don't go to church to hear about material things.
Okay.
I want to hear the word. And when God is talking about blessings, I just don't feel the blessings he's talking about is you getting a Cadillac. That disturbs me quite a bit.
I see.
If he blessed you to have a job, you can get any material thing on this earth, but you're not supposed to put so much emphasis on this material thing that's here today and gone tomorrow. And it's not going to be on the back of that dragging it by U-Haul on the back of that
that hearse.
From the hearse. It's not going to be dragged back in the hearse when you get ready to leave here. So don't put so much emphasis on that. We need to put more emphasis on having some place for people who lose. You know, people sometimes they get in trouble. They don't have nowhere to stay. They don't have nothing to eat. You know, it's so cold here in St. Louis, it's ridiculous. And these people sleeping on the street because one of the biggest places they had for the biggest homeless shelter here, the politicians kept on until they closed it down. And
what?
I'm on my way to work. I see people sleeping on bus stops.
Wow.
And the wind chill today was 19 below.
I see.
No,
you know,
we live in America. It's nobody should be sleeping on the street.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Now,
to me, I feel like we have a church on every corner.
That's true.
It's not up to the politicians. To house these people. It's not up to the politicians to feed these people.
Wow.
Jesus said, go out and help my people.
Come on now. Well, now, wait a minute.
And
if you are
a true believer and faith in God, in your heart, that's what you should be trying to do.
Call,
you should be trying to help somebody.
Carla, hold on.
Somewhere.
Let me push back. Pastor, help me out here. Carl, let me push back on you just a little bit now. Wait a minute now. I've heard people say I've heard people say, now, the church can't do everything. Some things people have to be responsible enough for themselves.
You're absolutely right. The church is not expected to do everything.
Okay.
Everybody don't need help. But the church is expected to help those who need help.
Wow.
I don't need no help from the church. I got my own. But I know people who don't have it. And they need your help. Yes, the church should be there for them.
Right.
And I will not participate in a church that is not going out to help somebody. I will not. I've been in too many churches like that that sit in there and they act like the world is not even existing outside, clapping and singing hallelujah, and people walking in front of the church prostituting and homeless. Yes. No, I can't be in no church like that.
Mm.
So now, let me make sure I'm understanding you correctly. You're not opposed to the people of God having nice things. You just don't want them things to control them. And you don't mind the church doing what it does, but you just want to make sure that it reaches those who they're designed to reach. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's absolutely. No, I mean, I like nice things. But I don't live my life focusing on laying down at night saying, oh, Lord, I just need more of this stuff. I work and get what I can get. If somebody got more than me, I ain't got no problem with that. What God got for me is mine. What I can work for and get, I get it. What I can't get, I don't worry about.
Okay.
Because, like I said, it's here today and gone tomorrow.
Right. Okay. Pastor, what you say to that? I got Randy, Reverend Bohannon, my cousin. Cuz, you get a chance, give us a holler here, man. 657-383-0944. Love to hear, get your input. What do you say about that, Pastor Wallace?
Yeah, I think she's right on it. And I think the humble part of her is saying, I'm not trying to get the church to give me nothing. I already got mine. So she says she's all right, and I respect that. But what she is saying is that in order to go into a church like that, when they see the problem right before them and turn their eyes and look at it as if it's not happening, you know, they need to be exposed by it. And people who usually say things like that, as you said, Pastor, earlier, about some people would say something about what the church is not responsible for, this, that, and maybe the other. But that's a strong cop-out, you know, and that's being... I would say separated. That's being separated from the power of God when you say something like that. And I've heard so many people say that, you know, like it starts at home, but you just read it in the scripture, that judgment starts at the house of God. So since that's the case, and then you got, sister just said, it got churches on every corner, just as they do here in Nashville and abroad. So what is the problem with showing a great example? For instance, listen to this. It says, believe them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. Could you imagine being on the Lord's team and you doing something by way of a good example? Apparently going up into the church, singing glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burden down is not a good example.
Right.
What a good example is that being able to recognize hurting people, step out and encourage them. You never know who will change their direction, man, just by an encouraging word. And the sister just said something, I'm going to put it back over. She said they'd be in there asking, who's got $100? Who's got $50? And things like that. Hey, man, look, they got this. The focus is on something that's causing them to forget about the weightier things. Like people standing out in front of the church in St. Louis, you know, weighed down with the cares of the world on their shoulders, and nobody is extending a hand. That's a disgrace, brother. Now, that's for me. That's the according to the word of God, because the Bible says the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So, you know, gotta have room, man. Go ahead.
Let me hold on 1 second, Pastor. I think Reverend Bohannon is trying to get with me. If you will call the number there on the show, I'm on live and we're doing a live stream, so I can't really answer the phone right now. But you can call us in here and join the conversation, 657-383-0944. Appreciate you. Pastor and caller, one interesting thing, one of the things that I talked about in the monologue is the fact that historically, in during the Reformation, prior to the Reformation, the Catholic Church controlled everybody. They dictated to everybody what to believe, and only the priests were educated enough to read the Bible and interpret Scripture and direct people's lives. Most of them were illiterate. They couldn't read and write, right? But it was during the 1500s when Martin Luther sparked, unintentionally, the Reformation that, caller, people were mad that they had to pay their landlords for where they lived. They had to pay the king taxes, and they had to give tithes to the church. When they got through, they didn't have no more. So that motivated them to fight and fight hard to reform their theological foundation, which was the church. You understand what I'm saying? And this is one of the things that we are today. People are angry because they're having a hard time eating day by day, and they can't quite get it together. 601-5178, welcome to Talk Straight. Uh-oh, look like we dropped him. Oh, man, give us a call back here again. I think that was Pastor Bohannon, 601-5178. So as I was saying, it seems as if we find ourselves in that same predicament today where I don't think people mind, caller, giving to God and giving to the ministry, especially when it's proactive. And you can see how it's transforming lives. One of the things is there are a lot of people who are frustrated with, after seeing for years, input, investment, and involvement in the church as a body and as an institution, they parlay that with how their lives have turned out and their families and so forth, and things are not quite adding up. And I think that may be one part of the frustration. So to us as pastors, as preachers, as prognosticators of the gospel, that's a lesson of what some things we can do better to improve that relation. What do you think about that, caller?
I think they're in the wrong church. They're in the wrong place. If you see I'm serious. They need to change churches. If you're in a church that is all about their churches, all they want is to build a bigger church. What are you doing? What if I go to that church and I lose my job and I'm about to lose my home?
Right.
And I'm faithful to this church. You're not going to help me keep my home? All you worry about is a bigger church to get more people, to get more money so you can buy jets and you can live in a $4.5 million home and my rent don't cost some but $400. You can't help me pay my rent. I'm in the wrong church.
I see.
If you're in a church that is not giving back to the people, then you are in the wrong church.
I get you. Now, let's be clear. You're not suggesting that every congregation is guilty of that, sort of thing.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I go to a wonderful
church.
And if
I might.
I'm not saying that my church is perfect.
Okay, hold your thought. If I might, I want to add to what you're saying, that there are oftentimes smaller congregations who do fabulous things that they never get credit for. You never hear about them.
That's right. Absolutely.
You never hear about them.
Absolutely.
But they're working hard and tirelessly in their little corner. And what I suggest, Pastor Wallen, he and I have talked about this a great deal, is that when we're able to come together as the body, as the church, the assembly, not necessarily based on denomination or of our little pockets of influence, but because we do this because we know we represent the body of Christ and we want to help all, when we pull those resources together, it seems to me we can be a lot more effective. What do you think about that, Pastor Wallen?
I mean, that's without a doubt. I mean, that's just the way the power of togetherness flows. You know, I love to use was of experiences and things like, being in the streets and from what I heard the sister talk about, faith caught up, captured, entangled, twisted, and couldn't get
right.
loose, you know, but we were faithful. And see,
right.
they're not ashamed. They're at the church right before them, man, being faithful at what they are doing. And that's
right.
the kind of people you want to go out there and reach out to. There's nothing wrong with having things. Sure, it's definitely okay with that. But what the scripture is saying, for all of those who are doing it just for the money, that
yeah.
means that that's the motive. And you have a lot of them that are doing that. You have to get to a point where you have to learn to be aware of that and be okay with exposing them, whether it be in a small church or a large one, if that's the motive.
You know, I just want to say one thing. I have a problem when people treat church like it's a business.
Mm.
See what I'm
well,
saying?
You know,
it's not. That's not a business for making money. That is not what the church stands for. To me,
but see,
that's my own personal
thing. But saving
okay.
souls is a business. You know, saving souls is a business. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why he said I must. In other words, I must be about my Father's business. You see, so it's okay to be
that's
my
different.
Business, but be about his Father's business. Meaning that those
that's
people
different.
In St.
That's
Louis,
different.
that's close and right there in reach, and you neglecting them, you're not about your Father's business. Whether
right.
whether it's in Nashville. Or whatever city it is, if you're inside the will of God and you're doing the will of God, you're not going to neglect opportunities like that. You know, even
right.
if you don't know how to reach, you may go ask somebody. Well, I see some people here don't know how to go
sure.
about it. And go find somebody who knows what to do and support them. And just like the sister said, she had to go from different churches, man, until she was able to find one that she felt like was presenting something genuine.
So,
and that's what it's about.
So let's bring this where it matters. Let's bring this where it matters. I'm 16 years old, and I'm hungry, and I'm out there getting it the way I live, right? I see everybody else happy, and all I know is the impulse of hunger tells me to do whatever it takes to get what I need. And I like some nice clothes, too. But you come along to me, 0993, and say, have you tried Jesus? And I say to you, I ain't going to try nothing but this nine I got because that's the only power I know. How do you help me? What you say to me?
You know what? I'm not the perfect teacher. I'm learning. But
okay.
I would tell him to try Jesus. Give Jesus a
okay.
try.
Okay.
You know that
okay.
you don't know what he can do for you. But I would give him my testimony of where I came from and how
okay.
he brought me out of what I was in. You know what I'm saying? And he showed me a better way.
Okay.
And he can do the same thing for you. You know, I got a
right.
testimony. You know, I ain't got time for that tonight, but I got a testimony that might light up somebody's life. You know what I'm saying?
Watch
it might light a path for them to Jesus and say, oh, man, if he could do that for you, I want to try him. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The testimonies right. of people is what bring people to Jesus.
Ah.
There
so
you
saying
you
saying sheep beget sheep. Is that what you saying, Carla?
That's
sheep
right.
Get
that's
sheep.
Absolute. That's what I'm saying. That's right. That's right.
All right.
He taught me. He said, he told me, he said, I'm going to do this for you. Now I want you to take what I gave you and take it out there and give it to somebody else. And that's
right.
what I'm
yeah.
going to do.
Right. And
yeah,
and do you know that that's what the text was talking about in 1 Peter? When you go up and read a few more texts ahead, it's describing how what has been done for you, you've got to represent what other folk got to do. You got to be the light, and that's why judgment started with you, because it's your example that others can measure themselves from in terms of your righteousness. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Let me do this. This is Talk Straight, the topic tonight, how the church, I'm talking about the church tonight, can make the difference in urban America. It is possible. You don't have to throw your hands up and say, those folk are, we talked about last week, that's a lost generation. Ain't nothing we can do for them. They just out of control.
That's not
well,
the
if
truth.
The church can't do it, If the church can't do it, maybe they are lost. Huh? If the body,
well,
the number to call us.
We was
tonight,
lost too. We was lost too. We was.
Yes,
I was
yes,
a different generation. I was lost too.
Okay.
And I was lost, and I found my way back to Christ. They can find their way. They just need a little guidance. That's all they need.
So you saying
they not lost?
All right, hold on 1 second. 657-383-0944. I believe the caller pastor said Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I think she, I'm not sure, Pastor, but it sounds like she's trying to sneak a preacher in on me.
That's where she's coming from, man. That's exactly where she's coming from.
Is that what she's doing, Pastor? Listen,
you know, honestly, Ruben, I thought God can possibly love me. I wasn't even worthy to be loved.
Wow.
I felt that way. I felt that way about myself. I didn't even know how to love my own self. And he taught
you.
Me. He taught me how to love me. He loved me first.
Glory to God.
And showed me how
Glory
to love
God.
Me. And then that way I'm able to show somebody else some love.
Right.
Yeah.
I can just spread it around. And that's how the chain keeps going. And the chain keeps on going. They are not lost. They are not lost yet. Jesus died for us for a reason, and he knew we were lost. When he died for us, he gave us a chance. So they got a chance just like I had a chance, just like you had a chance, and everybody else, they got a chance too. And we need to stop saying that they the lost generation. They have stumbled. They are stumbling. They are stumbling. But I stumbled too.
Okay. All right.
And
listen,
I ain't no better than them.
All right. 678-0405 has joined us. Welcome to Talk Straight. Question or comment?
No, I just came in. I don't know what's going on.
Hey, it's
old. Yes.
I know it's going to be on now, Pastor.
Yeah.
Let me introduce the temptations to you. I know some people say, we're talking about church. We're talking about church. But they told the truth. They told the truth. Listen just for a second, and let's talk about it on the other side. I got a question that I want to pose for the listening audience here. And Pastor Bohannon, I apologize. Somehow we lost you, man. If you don't mind, we're live on the streaming here, so I can't really talk to you on the phone directly. But if you can call me at 657-383-0944, or just get with me after the show if you're tied up otherwise. But we'd love to have you join us tonight. Listen to temptation here just for a second. People moving out, people moving in, because of the color of the skin. Because I've been a politician and I've been a preacher. Say, ain't nobody talking about love but the preacher. And the politician say, vote for me and I'll set you free. And we still in the bind. Should I feel guilty about that? Wait a minute. Let me pose this question. And then y'all get with me. How upset would God be for the preacher to lock the doors on Sunday and put a note on the door to the members and tell them, meet me in the street? Meet me at the trap house. Meet me at the club. Meet me in the brothel. Or meet me where the lost and the lonely are. Would God be upset if we did that?
God would be shouting hallelujah. 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 Because that's where they are at. That's where Jesus went out to them to get the fishermen off the bank. You got to go where the people are. No, God would not be upset in my own opinion.
Okay.
The church is a
building.
What
about that, Nicole?
The church, the body, that's a building. But the actual church is the body, and the body is the people. The people are the church.
Okay.
So they close that door.
Okay.
I don't think God would be mad at all.
Not at all, huh? Okay. Well, Nicole, what do you think about that?
I'm going along with what she just said. I just came in, Pastor. Let me listen right now. You know I'll get stirred up in a minute.
All right. Pastor Waller, what do you think about it, sir? I know where you are, Pastor, because I know the work you've been doing. But you want to talk about that just for a second, that whole position of breaking the tradition, stepping out of the box, and going where it's needed. Pastor Waller.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. I've been doing it for years. So, you know, it's like, you know, when I found out all this information that I received and I gathered while I was in church, and I thought it was unfair for me to keep it to myself, so I hit the streets, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I've seen multitudes of lives change as a result of that. But I would always be one who would say this, and I was thinking about it earlier. And if they put a sign on the church door on Sunday, I don't think it would be a bad idea for you to sit it down completely, because if they're not doing anything, what's the use of opening the doors back up anyway? You know, and I'm just saying it in a humble way, because it's important for us to do what the Word of God is rendering to us, if you will. If you run across it and you open that Bible up and you see in the Bible that it says, go out into the world, how are you going to mistake that? With asking for $100 or asking for $50 or however much, how can you mistake that? You know, as when he says go, that means go. And, you know, he said, I'll be with you. And if a person say in the church and they celebrate the Lord inside the church, you know, by saying glory, hallelujah, since I've laid my burdens down, well, that sounds good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you said you love the Lord because he heard your cry. That actually sounds good. But what about those people out there that don't know anything about the Lord? Wouldn't it be more effective to be able to use what you have received while you was in church and take it out there to the people? Because you're not going to come back until next Sunday or whatever day you can go in there. And if you don't have anything to offer the people, you know, I don't see no good in it myself. But there's hope. I always have a member, but there's hope. Because he said, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name.
Yeah, that's right.
And agreed. They're here being in the midst of them.
Wherever there is hope.
Yeah, I know there's hope, man. And Pastor Parker, you've been doing your thing, man, as a politician, as a minister, but your concern for hurting people, it still remains, man. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing the way you're doing it, and the results are going to fall in place.
Okay. Let me push back on, if I can pick on for a second, 0983, because she be saying stuff.
Don't
you understand what I'm saying? she be saying stuff, and I just want to make sure my mind is right. You know what I mean? So here's the thing. I think you're absolutely right, and I know for a fact that there are good people who mean well, and the truth is, they just have not prepared themselves to go out literally on the street and to deal with what they see in the raw. You know what I mean? They know the text. They know what the text said. They know the scripture. But when it really comes to try to get through those people that are like that man that was cutting on himself and beating himself up in the mountain, it's hard for them to reach them. And so part of what we want to do Thursday night, I'm going to offer some practical steps that any church across America, in the world for that fact, that are dealing with some, I'm going to identify some of the problems that we've been talking about, that I'm going to show you how we can come together. Some people say, we ain't got enough money to do that. Well, guess what? If everybody pulled their little pennies together, we'll make ourselves a nickel. Come on,
that's
somebody.
Right.
Is that right? And we keep putting nickels together, we can make a whole quarter. I wish I had
that's
a witness
right.
tonight. And you get enough quarters, you can get a dollar.
That's right.
Now the catch is we all poor folk, but we all got the same problem. And we say we're going to the same place. So now let me push back on you here, 0983. You say I can't have my limousine. I mean, I can't have my Mercedes now. I didn't work hard for that.
Oh,
thing.
I didn't say that. I didn't say
okay,
that.
Okay, well, correct me now. Talk to me now.
No,
talk to
that's
me.
Not what I'm saying. I'm saying, don't put so much focus that your all your blessings through God is materialistic. Yeah, you get material blessings. I mean, you on this earth.
Sure.
You want a few blessings, material things. But I don't think that should be your main focus. And I don't think that should be the main thing you teaching. The Jesus, when he left his commandments to love thy neighbor as thyself.
Right.
You know,
right.
Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You know.
That's right.
The focus should not be so much on material things. And if you love your neighbor, you ain't going to see your neighbor home. That's
I see
the
what
kind
you're
of
saying.
Stuff I'm talking about. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have material. I got material stuff.
Okay.
I don't sit up here and whine, I got to have this. I don't whine on that because God supplies my needs.
Right.
And then I get
well,
some
now,
things I want myself through hard work.
Sure. So the deal is this. If a person does not have, the question is why don't they have? Right? Now.
Yeah.
You work hard, you're supposed to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Even the preacher got a right to enjoy that. The Bible says
right.
A workman is worthy of his hire, right?
That's
but now
right.
The truth
right.
of the matter is, if LaShawty out there hungry and I'm eating a steak and cheese sandwich in front of him and the effluvia from the sandwich is all in his nostrils, and I expect him not to go upside my head and get him at least a half of that sandwich, I'm out of my mind, ain't I?
I don't expect him to go upside my head. How about I offer him part of the sandwich? He ain't got to go upside what? My head. How about that? You hungry? You want half of this?
Wait a minute. Now, that's
only,
my sandwich, though.
Only
hold up. God bless me with that sandwich. God bless me with that sandwich.
Right. He said, love your neighbor.
I got
didn't.
Mine. You get yours.
God said, love thy neighbor as thyself, didn't he?
That's what he
said.
And
he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. How would you stand there and eat a sandwich? That man standing there hungry and I said, would you like a piece of this sandwich? That ain't being godly. That is not being godly. If you don't say nothing, let me run to the house and get your bologna sandwich. Something. They don't have to knock you upside your head then.
Now, can I say this? I was standing outside on front of the steps of the building where my congregation met. Young man came to me, and I believe I may have shared this story before, and he asked for some money. I said, well, we got food downstairs. You want to come? He said, I ain't asked you for no food, man. I'd be happy to supply what he needs, not what he wants. Well, wait a minute. I said, if you're hungry, I'd be happy to, you know, help you put you something together. See, may I ask you for that? And then, caller, he went to cussing me out from head to toe. So you're supposed to be a blank
well,
preacher. You won't even help a nigga. You understand what I'm saying? Now,
the same thing
about
happened
that?
To me, Ruben. That same thing happened to me. I was at Church's Chicken. Dude walked up to me and said he was hungry. I said, I'm finna go in here. I'm gonna buy you something to eat. He said, I don't want no Church's Chicken. I want McDonald's. So I just laughed and went on into the store. I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, he don't want no Church's McDonald's across the street. You want a McDonald's? Why would you stand in front of McDonald's? He wanted money, me to give him money to get whatever
you
he
know
was
what
trying
I'm getting,
to get.
You know what
and
I'm
my,
getting
my,
at?
My mentor, he teaches me. You give people what they need. You don't help supply their habits. You understand?
Right.
If you're hungry, I give you food. You need clothes. If I can't do, if I ain't got nothing, you can fit in my house. I can go to Goodwill and buy you something to put on your back.
Right.
I'm not
gonna
give you $20 to go get no rock.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You heard me. Or no drink.
Yeah.
Gone, Pastor. Gone. I can't deal with her no more. Gone.
She's a rough customer, man. She rough customer, and then she got on top. You know what I mean? Yeah, I like that. You know, that's the genuineness of her heart. You understand?
Yeah.
And
well,
especially when she's
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead.
And I think, you know, I think she really actually, you know, have a great heart, man, and she's really, really seeking the will of God even more about the things that I hear her saying. And that's the good part about it, you know, once you have a change of heart and your life is going in another direction, it causes you to have that compassion. And I hear out of her, I hear compassion just flourishing up. And as I know that you bring some good questions to her, and, you know, you heard me, you know, that brought forth joy because she's right on target. She's like, yeah, this is what I mean. I'm standing on it because I know if God has blessed me, I should prepare myself to be a blessing to somebody else. And that pleases God. When a person have a heart like that, you know, and going back to the things, the materialistic things that a person come up with in life, you know, it's not a bad thing, as you just said, because if somebody's on the outside and then you're on the inside of the will of God and you're not having anything at all to show them that God is worth it, then it may have a hard time when you go to church. So if you say the Lord bless you with whatever he's blessed you with, there's nothing wrong with that either. Being able to tell someone that God blessed me with this and that and the other. It may make somebody want to hear up and step over in there and see what God will do for them. It's not easy, though, man, when the world got so much stuff out there, you know, to offer. Whether it's a person standing on the corner as a beggar or someone selling drugs, you know, and accumulating a whole lot of money. I mean, I've been in that situation. Of course, you know that. And I'm not pleased with it. But one man getting a whole lot of money is destroying a whole lot of lives. And so when the change came, I thank God for it because I no longer have to do anything to help bringing destruction to my community. Now I can shed a little love, a little compassion, a little of something that I had never had before. And that's peace, man. And I can feel for the people up in St. Louis what she's talking about, man. I just can see it going on right now and the power of it. You know, and then here's a church right there before them people, and they walk on by them as if they're not there. Man, what a compassion that on that.
So, you know, and Pastor, hold that thought. I don't think oftentimes caller people do that consciously, or then they do it intentionally. As it is, they've just gotten so comfortable doing what they do that they seem to be anesthetized to what's going on around them. Does that make sense?
That is the truth. But you reading the Bible every day, that should wake you up and say, I'm too comfortable with this situation, and this woman standing out here prostituting in front of the church.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You too comfortable with that situation. Now, you know you sitting up there clapping. You trying to drown out the noise outside. But you saw that woman when you walked in, walking up and down the street. And you ain't never went out to reach out to her and say, God says you can do better than this. He got something better for you. He got a better life for you. He want to put you back with your children. You know what I'm saying? You don't say that you cut up your nose and walk up into the church like she stink.
Man, that's pretty deep, that. That's pretty deep. Man.
But sometimes it's the case where you say, you know, I'm a taxpayer, and there are certain things that I know the social services are supposed to deal with. Why don't we just leave that to them? Because they're supposed to take care of that.
Social services don't deal with drug addicts, baby.
What?
People get in situations and get on drugs. Social services want to throw you in the trash can.
What?
They ain't got nothing for you. They ain't got nothing for you. They ain't trying to help you get back to normal life, get back to your children.
Everything is set up for its own purpose. Everything is a setup, and it's ridiculous because some people just don't realize. And this is one thing I know I was looking at today. I was looking at how strong Martin Luther King was and why they assassinated him because he wasn't scared to go up against him and tell them how he felt. And I think that's why he got assassinated, because that man really had a character that he wasn't scared to say what was on his mind and what they was doing and how they was doing it. But I thank God he laid the way for us to be able to share schools, restaurants, and stuff like that. But still, we ain't got all the rights that we deserve and we supposed to have, because at the end of the day, everything is so set up to be for other people, for their needs, for other how can I put it? Because I know I've been sitting here and I've just been looking at everything, and it's like, what when people gonna wake up? Because it's just people are sleeping, like literally sleeping. Going to work every day constantly for 10, 14 years and doing the same thing for this company and receiving the same results, no changing the rules or nothing. Everything is still messed up, like literally messed up.
I'm glad you said that.
When she said Martin Luther wasn't afraid, because he had faith. He had faith. When you got faith, you got to get rid of that fear. Are you going to be scared? Do you believe in God, or you believe in the devil? If you believe in God, he said, you don't have no fear. I am with you. You got to let that fear go.
Right.
Even if you are afraid, you just keep on moving, because you know God got you.
Right.
And if you get taken out of here today with your faith in God, you're going to glory.
Wow.
I mean, you can't sit around being afraid. You just got to get that courage together and move in faith.
Okay. Ladies, hold that thought right there. Annette Vaughn, welcome to Talk Straight. You want to give us a comment on Facebook, please feel free to do so. We'll be happy to share that with the in the conversation, or give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Great point, lady. Now, you said something, Nicole, that stirred my soul. You said something to stir, and I want to throw this question at you, Nicole, since you said mm-hmm. that. See, you and this other lady, y'all starting stuff on this show tonight. I don't know why y'all want to stir things up, but that's all right. We're going to deal with it. We're
stirring it in the name of Jesus.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. All right, listen at this just for a second. Nicole, this is what you were talking about. And then I want to throw that mm-hmm. question, that last question to you, Nicole. We got about 32 minutes before the show is over with. We're in our last segment here. But give us a call. You're listening to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic how the church now, can make the difference in urban America. That's in the hood where folk are having it hard. Listen to what Nicole was talking about right quick.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
Nicole.
Yes, sir.
You there, girl. Nicole, you there.
I'm here.
Listen. What they did 35, 40 years ago, guess what? You may have to change how you deal with them today. Is that right, Mary?
That's right.
Now, who is willing to make that change? Nicole?
I know I am.
That's my question.
And you got,
huh?
I said, I know I am, and you got to be, and you got to be really willing, and you got to study. This thing ain't simple as you think it is. You got to really study and meditate, and you got to really, and it ain't going to take no, I'm gonna be honest with you, so we talking about church. To me, I'm gonna be honest with you, I am the church. The church is me. The church is
what?
Me. You, and it don't take a building. You don't have to go in the building to serve no God. That's another thing that they enslaved us with. And people need to get it together. And they're using that thing as a cult to make money. And that's wrong. Because it's people out here that are really searching for help. And that's not right. You know what I'm saying? Because I really have analyzed a lot of stuff. And God has really set me aside and cleaned me up and shown me a lot of stuff that is unbelievable. Because you know what? The situation that I'm going through right now, He has opened my eyes to a lot. Do you hear me? And I just thank God for the eyes that He gave me, because I see who real and who not, and I see it's just a lot God has shown me. So I am willing to change. I'm willing to help people change. I'm willing to do a lot, you know. But you gotta want to. You got it's something you gotta work on day and night. You gotta be hungry for it. You gotta really be hungry to get it.
Nicole, you are spot on, darling. Listen to what Luke said. I believe this was Jesus talking. Luke 14:23 says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highway and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Now, you can't sit around in the comfort of four walls and just expect it to come to you. You got to put the work in.
Yep.
Now, this is the mindset that I like what you said. You are the church. And this is the mindset that any proactive ministry or any successful congregation of people, by success, I mean really meeting the needs of people, that's the mindset you got to have. Guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah, but I still believe that you're supposed to have a church. And when I say church, it's a body. That means not one person. The body of the church.
Yeah.
I might be the arm. Another person might be the legs. Another might be the eyes. Another, you know what I'm saying? When I say the body of the church, we are the body of the church. And we are supposed to fellowship with one another. We are supposed to come together and fellowship with one another.
Sure.
We can't do it all by ourselves. You know what
I'm
saying? I can't just say I'm the total body of the church, because I'm not. I need those other people with me to work to have this church. And I ain't talking about no build. I mean, we gonna get together in the building sometimes, and sometimes we're not gonna get together in the building. It's like you said, three of us gathered together.
Right. You know,
No offense. With that being said, I know as far as a shepherd, God leads and guides me and gives me a shepherd to minister to me at times. And He also ministers to me in his own little way through the Word of God, through His Bible. It's something God has led me to just open up. And He just gave me so much revelation just opening up my Bible. Because they said if you just listen, He'll answer you, and He will talk to you. He will speak with you. He will do a lot of things with you, and that is true.
It's a
flesh thing, you know, or whatever people think that they want to see a right now, a results and all that. Talking about where your God at now? So, because you know they've been saying this to me for the longest. Where your God at now? He there.
Yeah.
You don't have to see Him.
He's always there.
Okay.
Go ahead. What was I gonna say? What are you going to say, Mary?
I was just saying, she was saying, people ask, where is your God at? He ain't never left me. Even when I didn't even believe in Him, He kept me going. Why do I still be here? I wasn't supposed to be here. I ain't supposed to be here. Because He had work for me to do. He kept me here for that reason. Because He got something for me to do. He wanted me to show somebody what He brought me out of, so they can bring them out of it.
Okay. Let me just say that there is an order, a liturgical order for worship. and there is a basis for praise and collective prayer, congregational worship, and things of that nature. We certainly are not advocating that you get rid of that or that you disperse that in any way. What I'm saying is, especially in 2018, there is a tremendous need for us to step outside of the box and to go where the people
That's
are.
Right.
And you can't take that building with you to where the people are.
That's right. You're absolutely
so
right.
So what you have to take with you, what you have to take with you is what you share with those other believers inside the building and take that with
That's
you.
That's right.
See? And sometimes, Pastor, we discovered we had a young man on last year who told us that last thing some cats want to see is a Bible tucked under your arm. So you got to have that word inside
of you. Because they are afraid. They are afraid. You know, the light and darkness don't live in the same place. You know what I'm saying? Good and evil don't live in the same place. So, I mean, if you got demons, if you are sinning, you got demons in you, you don't want to see God and the devil don't live in the same place. You don't want to see that.
Right, right.
No, they don't want to see that. They don't want to see nobody.
Hold on, let me. Pastor Waller was going to say something. Go ahead, Pastor.
You know what I've learned, you know, to just be honest about who I am, and you know, when people on the outside recognize that, and they may be ashamed, they may be afraid, they may be unaware, but at the same time, you're still supposed to let your light shine before them.
Right.
When a person out there is seeing the light come out there, at least they know that there's hope. And from afar, they may not come at that time, but they watch you so long, and before you know it, they may walk up and ask you, how do you do it? You know, I've been watching you. I want to know. I was afraid at one time, but now here I am to just ask you for a sense of direction on what I must do to change my life. I mean, that's when you identify yourself. That's when you become a servant. It's in need, man. I mean, you know, to reach out to others is in the word. It's nothing to get around it. You know, after I've seen it in the Bible, and she said earlier, the caller said earlier, that they being there read their Bibles in the church, right? So that means
right.
that at some point they run across a scripture that reminds them what they must do. For instance, the word of God says, we then be thrown all to bear the infirmity of the weak and
That's
not
right.
to please ourselves.
Right.
You see, if we're not pleasing ourselves, then we're going to do God's will once we learn that. But if you don't know what to do, don't leave out that church going out there to the street trying to minister to people you don't have no clue. You know, you're just in there having a church time. And so that's not good
right.
for the people on the outside and neither for yourself. So I would encourage anyone that's tuned into this broadcast, you know, whether by way of on the internet, whether someone may hear you say something after we get finished. The bottom line, we have to go out and make sure we're not ashamed of the gospel, because that's where the good news is wrapped up in the gospel. And out in the real world, they need to hear some good news.
Yes,
and I know
yes.
on this radio broadcast right now, you're spending good news, Mr. Doctor. You're bringing it forth.
Yes.
You see, and that's what the people deserve. You see, that causes people to desire to change. And I believe since you've been on this broadcast, man, there's no telling how many people already have changed, but just haven't had the confidence yet to tap into it and let you know. But just keep doing what you're doing, and you'll hear someone at some point call in and thank you. You see,
right?
And you may never have a chance to see them. You may never have a chance to see them, but the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Word of God.
So just keep speaking.
Pastor, to that point, if I can add to what you're saying, what I appreciate is Sister Mary and Nicole tonight have shared their own real life experiences, and what I'm saying is that's really the treasure. That is the treasure, ladies and gentlemen, that we often don't take advantage of. And that is, if you got somebody that's been there and who have bumped their head, that's who them little girls need to talk to.
They need to talk to them. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
If Pastor Waller, like yourself, you've been down through the weeds and over the river and through the woods and the drug life and selling and using and everything else, they need to have an honest conversation with you about how they can turn their life around. And see, if the church can tap into those resources, man, we could do a whole lot more. Go ahead, Pastor.
Exactly. And, you know, Pastor, you were just saying something. The sister said something about up in St. Louis and what's going on, and then we was talking a little bit further about the people being afraid of the Bible. Well, there's a book entitled Still High that you used to talk about on there. I don't know if the caller knows anything about it. She may want to get that book and be able to be up there while she's in St. Louis, man, and introduce that book to somebody up there. Man, you never know how many people may change as a result of that. I just thought about that as we was talking and how, you know, you have to start somewhere. You know, you have to start somewhere, and then you never know. Your person is up there getting high. She's talking about buying them a 20 rock and things like that. You know, she'll have a chance to show them that book, and that book is entitled Still High, and you just don't never know, man. They change that person's
life.
What's
the name of it?
Still High. Still High.
Yeah.
Who is
High.
The author is a fellow by the name of Reverend Ricky Waller. They used to call him Fat Ricky back in the day in Nashville.
Okay.
Guess what, Barry? You're talking to him live on the air tonight.
Okay. All right.
He's just a humble cat, that's all. But you're talking to him live on the air tonight.
And I
just want to say one last thing that people don't realize. And I mean, I want to make this point, and I'm done for tonight. And
no,
Jesus
don't you leave me
sinners.
Now.
And he came for the sinners. He died with sinners, as a sinner, for sinners.
My Lord.
So, I mean, that alone let us know how much he loves us as sinners, that he can turn our lives around. He can save us. All we have to have is faith and believe.
Yes.
And he will never leave us nor forsake us. Stop.
For sure. For sure.
That's right.
Praise God. Let me just say this to our listening audience. www.dfcinstitute.com. If you go there and click on the contact us page, and you'll see another link that will take you to the back store, and you can find that book. When you make a contribution to our nonprofit, your contribution is fully tax deductible. You may not like Donald Trump, but at least he gave you a little bit more tax bump now, so you can get some tax deduction from it. But you can get the book there that Pastor Wallace talking about, Still High. And when you do so, you make a contribution to us. This weekend we'll be in one of our targeted cities doing our work. And Thursday night before I leave, I'm going to share with the audience some of the things that we're bringing to our target area. We pray to keep on doing it all year long. I said that to say this. There are some things, some best practices that work that churches can use. And we don't have to use the excuse, well, that's not what we do, and we don't know anything about it. Because if you don't know, now you know. All right? So having said that, we got about 16 minutes to go. The number is 657-383-0944. There's still some time for you if you want to call and ask a question or make a comment, something that we've said. I want to thank again Reverend Bohannon. I'm not sure we missed him there somehow, and Annette Wall and a few others that are on Facebook that are just tapping into us. And we understand it. We appreciate that. We don't want to put you under no pressure or anything like that. But you can feel free to give us a call. We'll be happy to hear your question or comment. You just may want to tell me, Doctor, you're just a fathead. You know, I take that too. Just to talk straight, though. I want to ask you, 0983. Suppose we went over there to on the block, right? and Lil Buddy was busy slanging. He didn't have time to talk to you. Should you get upset with him, or what should you do?
No, you shouldn't get upset, but you should also let him know, you know, if he feels the need or when he feels the need, you would still be available to talk to him, you know?
Okay.
You don't want to alienate him any more than he's already alienated, you know? Because there's going to come a time he's going to get in trouble. He's going to have some trouble in what he's doing.
He'll come running to a point.
He might say, well, you know, I'm going to talk to that lady. You know, she said I had a way out, you know, or I want to go talk to that minister. You know, he used to do those kind of things. And he saw a way out of his lifestyle, you know.
See,
at some point in their life.
You know what, Mary? Sometimes as believers, we mean well, and we want to see it happen right instantly, right then, overnight.
And they don't always be like that.
Oftentimes, perhaps the best you can do at the moment is to plant a seed, and that's what you're describing. Planting that seed. But you got to stay near to watch the seed germinate itself and come to fruition. But if you are just there for the moment, and then you're going on somewhere else and they can't find you, what good have you done? See, that's why a lot of people are giving up, because they've been given a lot of promises, and when they need you the most, they can't find you.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had a witness tonight.
Yes.
That's because folk are not stable, and when you came in the first place, you wasn't ready. So get yourself together. And it may mean that you may have to get back off in that word and ask yourself, what is God really telling me to do? I thought I knew.
Right.
But maybe I don't, because some ain't adding up here, right? It ain't my place to tell anybody who and what they got to do. But listen to what Peter 4:17 said. Y'all heard it. I shared it in the monologue. For the time is come that judgment, Pastor Waller, must, not it can, it should, it may, it said it must begin at the house of God. Nicole told me that house of God is not the building, but it's in me. Mary said, I got to bring that with me when I come. But I bring that judgment. I bring that judgment. And he says, if it first began at us, how much more of a difference would it make for those people that are not yet obedient to the word of God? Now, that's where the pressure comes right there, Mary. When you say to yourself, I got to take all these people on, they are my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
What about me?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
how'd I take care of me?
I got a quick story.
Okay.
When I first got saved, and I was in a restaurant getting ready to get something to eat in my neighborhood. You know, crack is a devastating part of my neighborhood. And this young lady I would see all the time, it's a street that they walk the stroller by the church I used to go to. And I would see her all the time. She'd be out there in her negligees, you know, selling her body. And I don't know. Yeah. I do know God made it come out of my mouth, because I looked at
Look like we lost it.
That's all right, praise.
Look like we lost it. Give us a call back there, Mary. Look like we lost her there, but we'll try to get her back here. Nicole, you want to weigh in on that while we try to get Mary back?
Weigh in on, you talking about the last part we were talking about?
Yeah, yes.
You just can't give up on anybody. Everybody sin. Everybody falls short. And that's what these young folks need to see today. That's what everybody needs to see that and needs to hear that you have sin, you fall short, you still fall short. Everybody is scared to commit to going to church and trying to serve God because they don't want to change right away what they're doing. They like to keep
call at this time, please leave your name, number, message, and I will return your call to my convenience.
I'm sorry, Nicole. Go ahead. We were trying to get her back, and we got an answer service. Go ahead.
Some people like the life that they live, and
that's true.
Even though
that's it's true.
Kept, some people like it, though, and some people get an enjoyment out of it. I'm going to tell you one thing that I know that sits with me so hard, because when you come down to there, like, my lifestyle, the lifestyle that I chose, it came too from not having family on your side and on your team, too. And you got to understand something. The power that life has is good, because people are – when I say some of those people out there in the streets that be standing on the corner swinging, doing drugs and just being themselves, some of those people are real good, genuine people. They don't mean no harm. They're trying to survive. And that's just the way it is. You know? And them people are labeled bad people. No, I really think the criminals is in the White House and in the Senate House is in things like that, because they mastermind this thing to set it up. Because I've been saying to myself, how are you going to bring drugs over here in the United States and then going to tell these people they got to go to jail for something they're doing? You brought all of this stuff over here, and then you want to sit up here and you want to lock people up. I really think this stuff is cleaned out. Like I said, there's secrets in this world that we don't know about, but I'm praying that God reveal all the secrets to us, because we are sleeping. You know what I'm saying? Because like you said, it's just ridiculous about what's going on around us, and then like people are killing other people, and you don't ever know what that person going through. You don't know what's on that person's mind or brain. You don't know like what that person going through, and people are like pushing people to the edge, and it's just like, and you know, and when you get angry sometimes, if you ever got angry, anger is a terrible thing, because you, when you angry, you don't think about what you're going to do. You just do it, you know? And some people have done things that they regret, and that cost them the rest of their life, you know, where they living, they being in jail. It was a lady pastor that was passionate about the young man who killed her son. She said, I don't want him in jail. I don't want him in jail. And she said, and I forgive you for what you've done to my son, but I don't want you in jail. I just want you to get some help. I don't know what you was going through. I don't know what's on your mind. But I really forgive you, and I love you, and you are human just like everybody else, and I just don't want you in a jail. True enough, I can't bring my son back, and true enough, you being locked up ain't going to help nothing. No way. I don't want him in jail. And that's how she felt. And I felt the compassion in that lady, because why? That was real, Pastor. How many people you know that's going to speak like that? Because you never know what that person mentally going through. It's a lot of people, too, is born with mental illnesses, and you just don't know if they have it or not, because you got to understand, if people doing drugs while they playing with kids and stuff, or what kind of spirit these kids have in them, you don't never know what these kids have in them, or you never know what the parent was doing when she was pregnant. So that's another thing, too. So anyway.
Okay, great point. I'm going to, some of those things, Nicole, I'm going to address Thursday night, actually, that you just brought up. In terms of particularly acknowledging that there are cases where there are physical and even mental illnesses that affect people's behavior, you know. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody have to be a clinical psychologist or anything like that, or psychiatrist, but that reasonably we need to be aware of that and not just brush certain things off and brush people off. I think you make a great point that in that regard. Pastor, you want to...
Yeah, I'm not trying to cut you off. I'm going to tell you one of the pet peeves that I listen to. I still listen to rap music, and I'm going to keep listening to it until God tells me don't listen to it no more.
You know what?
I get messages from the rap music, because them boys, all they're doing is crying out for help, and then at the same time, the message telling me they don't trust. You know what? Somebody really messed up some trust inside all these young men. And it's hard to get it back. Why? They feel like everybody is phony. And I feel where it comes from, because there's a lot of phony stuff that's being covered up.
Right.
So I don't really feel, but still some of them have really changed their life and turned over a new leaf. But still, at the same time, you know, it's just trust issues. People want to trust. People love to love and help and be helpful, but it's just hard to trust sometimes if somebody had broke their trust, you know?
Point well taken. Point well taken. Point well taken. Let me bring Pastor in here. We got about 5 minutes here before we get off the air. Pastor, kind of set me up a little bit in terms of Thursday, in terms of the how churches can, things they can do. Just briefly from where you've been, Pastor, in terms of you being out there and some of the things you see on the ground. Pastor Waller?
Concerning the question that you asked. Pastor. Concerning the question that you just asked, you know, I like to say that that was a man inside me, and he took time out and came out of the church and said something to me. So that's what have motivated me to be concerned about others and have compassion on others. You know, if they just come out of the church, you know, and just say something encouraging, man. I mean, the power of just a starting point to a lost person, you know, is a benefit for the long run, you see. Even though I did end up going to church later on, years went by, and it probably shocked him when I came into the church, but it all had to do with him putting the seed down years before. And so I would say that, and I would turn it back over to you, I would say that it's a good thing to know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you've seen. See, when that man came out of the season to me, he put his faith in motion, and the evidence came later on. It didn't be next week or the next month or the next year, but it came.
Right.
So I think you can ask him that. I think that's what the people in the church should be preparing themselves to do. Learn how to come out of the church and say something encouraging one along the way.
Wow. Okay, man. This last about a minute and 50 seconds. I'm sorry, 50 seconds we have. I want to thank all of our listening audience, and particularly Mary in St. Louis, for joining us tonight. As always, Nicole, thank you for joining us, and Pastor Waller. And Reverend Bohannon, I'm gonna make it up to him. We lost him. Nicole, you know I lost your preacher friend you had. I lost another preacher tonight. I don't know. The devil just clowning. I'm gonna have to get. We gonna make it up to him. We have to get him on. Hopefully he can join us Thursday night, because we're gonna really. I want to hear of some positive, proactive things that are being done that you don't hear about, and that's really what we want to try to spotlight. Some things that I do know of, and hopefully we can get him and some others to come and share with us. I know Pastor Waller have quite a few things that he has done over the years since he and I have known each other. So it's hope. So we don't have to write anybody off. That's the good news. That's hope. We don't have to write anybody off. You've been listening to Talk Straight. Tonight we were talking about how the church can make the difference in urban America. We're going to pick up with part two of that on Thursday night, and we're going to actually talk about some actual things that are being done. Mary, I'm sorry we missed you. Look like we lost connection there. But again, Thursday night, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise, Nicole, that's what the old folk used to say. we'll come back again, and we will have another episode of Talk Straight. Until then, we leave you this thought, and we ask that you join us again Thursday night, 7 o'clock p.m., for another episode of Talk Straight, and we'll see you then. We know and we understand. Almighty God.